Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. It's the Instant Match Reaction. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak. We're in the studio. It was Brighton 1, Liverpool 1. As we were doing some of the post-match content, Jürgen Klopp took to BT Sport and got into a rather heated argument with Des Kelly live. Who
Good TV.
It was good TV, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it's telling. Des was clearly waiting for it, and he knew. And I think every television interviewer, based on what we saw from Klopp last weekend, will have been mentally having that conversation in their heads and been told to take it to task. And BT Sport were never going to be the ones to let it fly because Klopp is almost directly attacking them.
Well, they're the half 12 game, aren't they?
Exactly. And you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a bit about the game. There's obviously there's been some interesting reaction to the VAR stuff as well from some big names around the game. So we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But The thing that's hampered by this is you've got a professional interviewer who's got a ready-made, he's got his argument that's been ready-made for this, catching Jürgen Klopp, who's just walked off a football pitch, who's clearly a little bit cheesed off with the things that he's had to be subjected to, for whom English is his second language as well, I don't think helps him in this situation. And the problem we're faced with now is that some of Klopp's points will get lost, I think, in the people actually just enjoying the fact that Jürgen Klopp's getting riled up on television as much as anything else.
Yeah, they will be. And I think you're absolutely right. He's almost lying in wait there, Des Kelly, isn't he? And he knows that it's the half-12 game that Klopp's been talking about. So even more so, it was always going to be at the forefront of Klopp's thinking, and also adds to the fact that we pick up another muscle injury, a hamstring injury this time around with James Milner. And the substitute and the meeting midweek and everything else just said that this was going to be a volatile interview. There's his line in wait. Klopp gets his points across, I think, really well. Mm-hmm. I don't think he does come across as salty. I think he comes across as angry. Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to be under these circumstances. I mean, he'll be angry first and foremost that, you know, two goals got chalked off of VAR.
Yeah.
And the penalties that we've conceded. And the fact that they get an equaliser late from one of those penalties. He's absolutely spot on,
yeah.
Klopp, in this. For me, anyway, it's abundantly clear that he's talking about this for the league. And yes, he's talking about this for Liverpool because Liverpool are in the league.
He's talking about this, and he says it. He's talking about it for the clubs that are involved in European football is what he's talking about. And that's why, Chris Wilder had a go at him in his press conference this week about the fans being allowed back into stadiums, and that Jürgen Klopp's being selfish because his selfish things don't apply. It's a different argument, and unfortunately, Jürgen Klopp's dragged him into this one, of course. But the problem is, where his point is spot on, and where unfortunately it's being lost in this, because Des Kelly has decided to be offended. It's like when the rules in a restaurant are wrong and your server gets wound up by it. It's like, it's not your fault, but it's a bit jobs worthy. And I get it. He's chosen to defend this broadcast and he's saying it's the Premier League fault. No, it is actually BT's fault, because he's right. Jürgen Klopp's point is that, yeah, look, there should probably be a decision made as there should there be some, should there be early kickoffs in this regard. But he's actually not saying there's necessarily a problem with there being 12:30 games. BT have chosen Liverpool. And that's what's been, that's the problem with it, is that his argument is this. You could pick, you know, from all the choice of games you have available, BT have chosen Liverpool because the 12:30 slot is BT's slot. And he's basically saying, don't use it. And the defence is, well, they've got TV sell. It isn't, Liverpool's fitness issues are not BT's concern. But that's why Klopp's pissed off with them. Because if he's given a few more hours, or he's given, you know, a Sunday fixture or whatever, then he's less arsed about all these things, because these games still have to be played. But this is the problem, and that's almost the concise point of this. And it gets lost a little bit, and then go, you should be speaking to the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. No, because the Premier League don't choose Liverpool to play half 12. BT choose Liverpool to play half 12. If Liverpool get picked for a 5:30 game, again, he's less arsed about
it. I disagree slightly, just from the point of the Premier League may have been able to say in the contract talks, don't pick European clubs for those 12:30s, mm-hmm. and BT might not have paid for a 12:30 if that was the case.
Yeah.
So there is the problem for me does come from the Premier League, because there are no rules and restrictions on who they can pick.
But nobody else can change this now apart from BT.
Exactly.
Is why Klopp's kicking off at them, because they're the only one left to shout. Then he can go to the Premier League all he wants, but the contracts are signed and everyone's saying, nothing to do with us, and the broadcast going, nothing to do with us. Well, it is now a broadcaster issue, because the broadcast are now the only people who've got any movement left in this. Boils down to the arguments about the quality of football being played out before it. Get it? You'd rather Liverpool, because Liverpool's going to draw more eyes and gain more subscriptions for BT, probably out of what's left. We're probably looking at who's got the various games. Liverpool were probably the best that was kind of left, and it's why you're actually Liverpool Crystal Palace is the next one, and the cop mentioned that again. We've been picked for it three times now. We're playing Wednesdays, and we're getting picked for this game again, and it will feel unfair. And no wonder Klopp's pissed off. He's allowed to be pissed off, because somebody is making a decision that's out of his hands, and it's putting his players through the ringer as a result of it. So I get it, it's just compounded,
isn't it, by the fact that we've not got the five subs, that we've got all these injuries, that we've got players who aren't available to us, and now this is making a really what is normally a tough management period anyway even harder. The fact that we didn't have pre-season and everything else, it's all compounded, and that's why it's been brought to the forefront over the last couple of weeks, is because everything's building up. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I normally like the presenter. Who's the presenter? Is it Jake?
Jake Humphries.
I normally really like Jake Humphries. I know a lot of people don't, but I think he's really, really good at his craft. And he said afterwards, you know, maybe Jürgen should be focused on his team more than the broadcasters. And I'm like, no, I disagree there, because Jürgen can absolutely focus on his team and then lose his rag with the broadcaster afterwards, because the game's done. Yeah. He's put all his focus in. And that's used deflecting there, to be honest.
The problem is with this, unfortunately, because broadcasters are cynical fucks as well, looking to make money. They'll be looking to put him on more of them, because if you get that reaction, look at the ratings, look, I guarantee that'll be out there all over social media and all that, and all their fucking numbers will go through, because everyone wants, well, what was Klopp saying? Let's go to the BT Sport YouTube channel, let's go to the BT Sport account, and they'll see, again, you said it, it's good telly, and Klopp's giving them good telly, and that's his mistake in that regard, and maybe that's why he actually needs to care, but he needs to be done elsewhere.
He wears his heart on his sleeve, he can't hold back in those situations.
I've got no problem, it's like the footy thing, innit? In the ground, I've got no problem. If someone misses a chance, I've got no problem with someone going, because you can't control that. What you can control is how you react 30 seconds later, and how you react after the fact when you've had a bit of time to compose yourself and stuff. I can't fault Klopp for in a live mic situation with emotions riding high on things, forcing it. He's made the fatal mistake, of course, of fronting the guy with the microphone, unfortunately, and Des Kelly again is ready for that, so he's just gone well, made up. I've got to make all the arguments that I've been mentally he's been writing that conversation in his head since last weekend.
Yeah,
because you would, because I would, in that I'd be waiting for that, lying in wait for that kind of thing to rise, and he tries his best to get out of it. Klopp doesn't rise the first time, and then unfortunately kind of gets sucked into it down the line. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that'll rumble on, you know. And again, if there'll be rival fans who'll be desperate to like use it as a thing to bash. But it goes back to this argument once again. This is why, by the way, the top clubs are talking about this project big picture and all this kind of stuff, because this is the point, is that why are you choosing Liverpool? Well, Liverpool are the biggest club. Well, hang on a second, you know, you're putting Liverpool, you're putting our players into dangerous positions because you know Liverpool draws a bigger audience. Well, Liverpool actually Liverpool are going to need a bigger squad, and they're going to need this thing, and they're going to need more money because of all the added pressures. Because not only are they having to go off and fight in Europe and do all these things, but they're then being asked, they're being picked
fight
for
the
all these
lists as well.
Exactly, they're being picked for these the more challenging fixture situations as well off the back of it. So they're going to need more deeper squads and all these kind of things. But anyway, the other talking point around it is obviously the use of VAR, and I've been trying to find a good way to phrase this. I've been writing this game chapter for next year's, for the end of this season's book already, and I put a tweet out about it. I'll read a tweet from Henry Winter about this, because he's a very well respected journalist, and he says, "Clear and obvious is dead and buried. It is no more. It is now all about pedants in the Stockley Park looking for anything in slow motion. VAR is good if used as a safety net just to catch shockers. Why not let the game flow? Use VAR judiciously and invest more in developing better refs." It is an argument. It is the unwinnable argument of the spirit of the game versus the rules and I can't look, and you said this really well earlier. I can look at all them decisions and understand why they've been given, but it becomes a point of nobody thought that was a penalty. The Robertson thing was a penalty in normal time. It's not a blatant shocker of a decision. Danny Welbeck isn't going through on goal. He's not, you know, it's not been denied a goal scoring opportunity. It's a marginal thing that shouldn't really matter. Danny Welbeck, knowing it full well, has done the right thing. He's just gone, and grabbed his leg, just so the referee, they all know that it's something that needs to be looked at. I feel like I'm a dinosaur dying on a fucking, like a poetic dinosaur dying on a fucking hill here for no reason. Do I need to just get over this and just fucking accept that this is what footy is now? I'm finding it very hard to marry my loss of enjoyment of football with what the rules are.
First off, I said it during the player ratings. Individually, those two decisions are all right. Exactly what you're saying there. But when you have to slow something down and then someone has to look at it and then the referee has to go away and look at it again, that's not clear and obvious. Clear and obvious has changed 2 weeks ago or whatever it is. Now it's just incorrect decisions. Now, my issue with that isn't so much... It's the inconsistencies of when correct decisions are then allowed and incorrect decisions are allowed. Because if you just want every decision right, then we're going to have to accept that the game's going to be dead stop start. And you need to get every decision right across the board, all the way through the game, over all the way through the pitch. But you don't. And what it feels like at the moment is you're just picking and choosing when. Because 3-4 weeks ago, there was a clear and obvious, more maybe now in the Everton game, there was a clear and obvious error that wasn't looked at. Why? Mm-hmm. And then again, if you want to be consistent, you've got to be consistent across the board. And if you want to be inconsistent, then be inconsistent everywhere.
Yeah, that thing of, I don't know, again, it boils down to it. VAR for me is a system put in place.
But it's a contact sport.
I know. To aid the enjoyment from sociopaths who don't understand that not football is fucking weird, and it doesn't, you can't fit everything that happens in football into boxes. Like, it works, like I get in things like that work in cricket, and it works in baseball, and it works in American football, and it works in various other sports, and you know, and there's various elements of technology work. Like, I am not asked in any way, shape or form that Firmino's goal at the weekend is there's a centimetre in it, but goal line tech is binary. They've said the whole ball's got across the line, so I'm genuinely
but there's also something else there, Paul, that I don't think we consider often enough, is we trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we all do. Yeah. We just trust that that's right.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute, why?
Yeah.
Because no one's diving into it every which way, and you know, they're telling us that the graphic that they've made is right.
Yeah.
So we're just trusting the graphic.
Yeah.
It's not actually a football. It's not a picture that we're looking at.
Yeah.
It's just a graphic that's made up on a computer. That could quite easily be wrong, but for some reason we all trust it.
But it's
now, VAR isn't like that.
Yeah.
VAR is, it still shows you the angle, and you see them draw lines, and you question whether the line's being drawn at the right point. You question whether the line's being drawn at the right place. And for me, it just takes the fun out of football.
I don't know if we've still got the computer on here, there's a tweet that Steele put out, and he said, "Am I being stupid or not? That line should not be from the defender's left hip or shoulder, not inside of his right foot." And there's, And again, these are the points about the offside stuff is being drawn from weird angles and whatever. And I get they're trying their best to make it as clear as possible. And I'm becoming more accepting of the fact that VAR is just really nitpicky in the offside stuff. But generally speaking, the ball's in the back of the net. It's stopped a few extra seconds, this thing. I think it does take the enjoyment out of it because you know you can't celebrate goals anymore because you're just waiting for the inevitable. You've got to wait for the check, which again is not in the spirit of football for me. I think, again, it boils down to, and the problem again, you've entered into a conversation where what is the line of error? Because from, again, to Henry Winter's point on all of this stuff, it's what how we've had to create a conversation of defining clear and obvious. When does it come into it, when does it come into effect? What's a shocker and what's not a shocker? None of these decisions, which again, as I say, by when you zoom in and you slow down and you do all this thing, none of those decisions were incorrect. They didn't get any of the decisions wrong, probably.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But at what point should it really be activated? At what point is it just nitpicking for the sake of fucking nitpicking? Did it need nitpicking? No. And again, I'm not asked about the goal line tech, but goal line tech stops Frank Lampard's goal against, I think it's Germany in the World Cup, where it's a fucking meter behind the line and it bounces back. It stops them, and I made up that those are stopped because it's just daft. But the problem is when bringing it in, it also enters into a world where you're having to draw lines at some point. You're either drawing them in millimeters or you're drawing them in feet. But when you draw them in feet, you're still drawing them in millimeters because. Was 1 foot enough? Or what is 1 foot and 1 centimetre? You know what I mean? You're always going to have millimetres in this, even if you draw the lines wide and all these things. And that's the problem, is that adding video assistant referee is fucking... It's sapping my enjoyment because it's never going to make a mistake that's so bad and so consistently bad that we go, it's got to go. It's not like when you turn up, in like tennis or whatever... If it goes so wrong, you can turn it off and go, right, fuck it. It's fucked for today. We'll just sack it off and we'll just go by the umpire's eye on these or whatever. That's never going to happen with VAR. It's going to be like this. It's going to be shit forever.
And the thing is, they're going to continue to make the wrong decisions around it because we've changed it. We see just minute little changes all the time and how they affect it and what that means for other things. And, you know, the arm, not the arm, these defenders that are getting basically penalised for having arms nowadays. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, how are you supposed to defend without using your arms for balance, if nothing else? And all these handball decisions that seem to be going against teams, and it's just crap. And it's just like, just let the lads play the footy.
No, exactly.
And if the ball goes in the back of the net, let's have a goal.
Yeah. Well, our good friend Paul Tonkins put a good tweet on. He said basically four massive decisions went against Liverpool today. Two were legitimate, two were invented by someone in an ivory tower. No longer celebrate goals. Games being flattened and deadened by officious dickheads. Use VAR for obvious errors. Two of them were not obvious. And that's the point, is that you can slow any, pick any moment in the game and pull it out, blow it up, slow it down, and judge every one of those decisions by that way. And that's the
but
point about it.
Don't
no, exactly. It's because it'd be fucking ridiculous for them to do that. Clear and obvious is meant to be stopping, like I get, like we say, lads being a meter offside, and it just going against it. Lads being completely cleaned out and dangerous play and off the ball into, so someone flattening someone decking someone and not being seen by the referee. You know, or just these things. That Danny Welbeck one only looks like a clear and obvious error because you're saying, was the contact? Well, there was. But in the full flow of football, I just don't think it's enough to say to the referee, stop doing what you're doing and come back.
Look, any team, let's say any team scores a corner in the league now, or scores from a corner, I should say, in the league, you could probably have a look at a camera angle and see four fouls. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that. No. But because we're only looking for offsides. Mm-hmm. And that's just a bit nuts as well, isn't it? It's just all crap, mate. It's
shite. And the thing is, again, it's just one of those things. It feels like fucking... It's like, it's just... we're living in the fucking Brexit world, and VAR's another fucking offshoot of this shit. It's like, we ask people's opinions on stuff and then something come in and it's like, oh God, this is fucking horrible. What have we done this? Well, can we undo this? Well, no, because really, we decided this, and it's not so clearly bad that it needs to go. And that's the fucking problem with it.
For me, it is, because...
We're
not seeing clear and obvious errors overturned. We're seeing errors that aren't even clear and obvious to computer systems overturned. Yeah. Like, if the linesman couldn't see that Salah was offside there, it's because it's not clear. If the lino couldn't see that Mane was offside there, it's because it's not clear. Mm-hmm. Like, and if the referee, who was 5 yards, 10 yards away from the robber one, didn't see it, then it's not clear.
Yeah, again, it boils down to the fucking lines. When you have to draw lines, it's fucking nonsense.
But let's say we go with a centimetre. Is a centimetre clear and obvious? No, exactly. An error on the assistant referees? No, it's not.
Exactly. And that's the point. They're trying to make it goal line technology without the technology to make it goal line technology. Again, maybe the lines need to go and you're just going, okay, from that angle, I can look at it. And from my extra vantage point, because that's all it is, by the way, it's another non-inline vantage point.
That's a good shout. Get rid of the lines. And if you can tell me whether it's offside or not, then tell me.
Yeah. Make another call, but that's all you're making. And if it's not, but, and again, if it's close and it's a goal and the goal's gone in, either decide whether your preference is defenders or attackers.
Here's the other thing that I would do, right? And I haven't thought this through, so bear with me on this. I would say, ask the assistant refs to start flagging when they think it's offside.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'll get an answer on whether it's on or off. Or it's clear and obviously an error.
Exactly.
Because if they're not flagging, you're just getting to pick allowed to pick anything apart. Whereas if they flag, or if they don't flag, then I think you can make a decision there.
It's the safety net thing, isn't it? It's there to make pricks of the assistants who do. Let's be honest, because we all do. We all hate referees, and we all hate assistant referees, and we all hate this because we've built that culture up of it. But they're doing an impossible job.
Yeah.
Like, have anyone watching ever tried to fucking officiate a game of football and run a line? It's very, 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 very hard to do. Because, again, you're looking along the line and everything, there's so many factors that play contributing to it. Have you blinked? If you blink at the wrong time, you've missed it. And you know what I mean? All those things. And those views, it's just another view of an incident that's not the right view. It's not, it's just, you know what I mean? That's what I mean. And that's what, and the lines are put in there to make it look official.
But they're not.
But they're not. It's just to make it look more like a computer that's doing it. But again, it's not. It's another person with an incorrect angle making a judgment call. Well, if that's the case, just fucking...
You know what you could do, right? You could put loads of lines in, right? Instead of just the one that they draw, you could put a ton of lines in 10 centimetres apart and go, you have to have at least one line. You have to... one has to be in one has to be in the other for it to count
but
as offside.
But, but this is
then
the
it's
point.
At least clear and obvious.
Every time you put a fucking line, on, there's always going to be... There's that fraction whether it is or isn't. Sometimes it will be that, sure. But there's always going to be a decision that's on the borderline of it. They'll always have that. Because the second you try to measure anything, then you enter into another, you know, minutiae conversation.
Okay, well, let's just give the goals
like,
to Liverpool and take the 3 points.
100%. Let's just do that. I think we can all agree watching that should be what's done. LFC Aaron with the 499 Super Chat. Thank you so much, Aaron. Fuming with that at the end. We can't be too critical, though. Players are tired. Yeah, look, on the game itself, just very, very briefly, because we'll do this all on the final word on Monday, of course.
Yippee.
Liverpool were crap, really. Let's be honest, you know, for large portions of that game, they were crap. I thought Jürgen come out and saying how he was really pleased with it, I think is again a contextual thing from his perspective. He knows how tired the players were. He knows how much of a physical test this was for them to get out there. So I'm happy to take his assessment on it, really. But we needed Jordan Henderson on the field, but we needed James Milner at right back. And this is the problem. We're much better for having the senior lads in the team compared to having kids on the pitch. Duh. I think that goes without saying, but we're into a position now where we're going to have no choice but to play kids.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not privy to Jürgen and his training sessions. I'm privy to seeing Liverpool play with 11 world-class players, and we weren't up to scratch by comparison to that day, and there's reasons, but we didn't get going until Jordan came onto the field. We had a good 5 minutes at the start. We put them under a little bit of pressure. We struggled for it then. We probably could have closed the game out, maybe. The goal by Jota was absolutely brilliant. The movement was absolutely brilliant. But it wasn't until Jordan came onto the field, started striding forward with the ball and setting where Liverpool were going to play football in their half, that we started to. I thought there were some good performances. I thought Bobby Firmino was good. I thought Nat Phillips was sensational again. You know, that's probably a second man of the match performance for me, from him this season. Yep. I'm really, really happy to see him play at the level that he's playing at. Yep. And I love watching defenders defend. Yep. It's one of my favourite things.
Yeah, there's a wider point, which I think we'll probably do on the final word. But yeah, I'm not going to steal any praise from Nat Phillips on that, because he did everything that was asked of him today. He's clearly being told to go out and defend, and he's gone out.
Sometimes he puts himself in positions just so that he can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on him. No, I enjoyed Nat Phillips' performance. I think that was a real shining bright spot. Diogo Jota scoring again, of course, absolutely brilliant that we've got that kind of level of quality in there. Salah will be raging to have come off, of course, but it means that Salah will be chomping at the bit to go against Ajax in midweek, and hopefully that means that, you know, again, it's another example of what we've talked about. The James Milner stuff, like, we're getting one every week, so we shouldn't need to keep having this debate, but we were having it during the game about Milner and where he was at physically and all this kind of stuff. Is that if we keep pushing the lads, we're just gonna keep getting injuries. So Salah can fume all he wants, but if Salah's able to play on Tuesday and then he's able to play at the weekend against Wolves, then he can fucking shut up and he can have a cob on all he wants. Because again I said this on the video on my channel, footballers are like kids with sweets. Kids will eat sweets 3 meals a day, but sometimes the grown-ups have to come in and go, no, you're not allowed to eat sweets because it's bad for you. And that's what footballers are like with playing. They'll all play. James Milner would never have turned around today and go, I'm sorry, I'm feeling a bit tired here, I can't play. Not a fucking chance. But sometimes we need to do what we can to take these out. But unfortunately, we're fast getting to a situation where we're not going to have an option. And that's the point, is that this is coming, it's exactly what I was saying last week and the week before. It's just going to, we're going to come to a point where we're going to have no choice, and there's going to be a bunch of fucking absolute no-mark lads who are nowhere near ready enough to play for Liverpool, out on the field for Liverpool. And I can't see anywhere where that actually doesn't happen, which is the most upsetting thing about the whole thing, really. But yes, there you go. Shite. That's the instant match reaction. We're going to talk more about the game on Monday. I think there was too many emotive things, and it needed to be talked about, the Klopp stuff and the VAR stuff, of course. But yeah, if you are a YouTube member,
at club captain or club legend level, and you get the final wager on Monday, 10:30. Tune in. We'll do a bit of a deeper dive on that, and we should all feel loads better about it. Hopefully, some of Liverpool's closest rivals fall flat on the faces this weekend. That would be nice to add to it all. But yeah, whatever. Liverpool pick themselves up. They will go again against Ajax, and so will we. Thank you very much for sticking with us all afternoon. We'll be back with more on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every frigging day, because the games come thick and fast. But yeah, it's great. Do go and get yourself a 20% discount on Redmen merch right now. It is a very, very limited time offer, so if you've wanted to grab some cool stuff, now is the time to do it. Use the code CHAMPIONS, all caps. You can go to bit.ly/RedmenMerch and use that code and get 20% off on a wide range of our awesome products. Mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, all of that good stuff. So yeah, do that, support the channel and get some Boss Clobber and stuff off the back of it. Sounds good to me. Cheer yourself up after a bit of a shitty downer of the footy. But the Reds will be back. We will be back and we'll be smiling, I'm sure, in very short thrift. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.